Fastamai, hello and welcome to this edition of Agenda. I'm Ewan Gorn. There's growing interest in renewable energy installations for the home. Manx Solar Electrical talks through what's available, improvements in battery storage, and the future for green power. Meanwhile, Manx Gas is a step closer to a new deal with government. CEO David Crudis explains what the agreement means for customers and about the company's plans to offset its carbon. The island's largest renewable energy company says it's seen a sharp rise in inquiries in line with efforts to reduce the island's carbon footprint. Manx Solar Electrical has reported record interest after government's moves towards a target of net zero emissions by 2050. Changes to permitted development this year allow for air source heat pumps and roof-mounted solar panels to be installed without planning permission. Martin Coyle is from Manx Solar Electrical. I spoke to him.
Well, the normal process that we find is people will ring us, email us, get in contact with us some way. Lots of people are popping to our office now in Eden Business Park. But the first process is to come and speak to us and tell us what you would like to achieve. And the very next stage is we then arrange a survey. We come out to the house, we survey the roof for solar or if it's for an air source heat pump, and we look at all the aspects that's required to make it happen.
So what can most people do with the sort of average, I know there's a lot of different properties on the island, man, but the average home, what can most people do?
For the most part, most of the houses are all fine for solar and for air source heat pumps. Most of our installations are retrofits. We're seeing more and more new builds coming along now, but for the most part, a retrofit of a solar PV in an existing house, if the roof does need repair work, it's generally inexpensive to do, but that would all be picked up on the survey. Likewise for a heat pump, if the insulation levels weren't quite right or the radiators needed upgrading or anything like that, that would all be spotted on the survey point.
What are people getting for the most part? What sort of installations?
Our biggest thing for the past couple of years now is really solar and battery storage. We do fit a lot of heat pumps, but solar PV and battery storage is where it is. We started fitting renewables on the Isle of Man in 2008, and back then it was mainly heat pumps with the odd solar PV installation, because 12 years ago solar PV was quite expensive. But 12 years on, it's solar PV has come down tremendously, and now we find we're doing more solar than heat pumps at the moment.
So is this a viable alternate and green energy generation source?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. The savings are incredible. The payback terms is fantastic, and the longevity of the system is, you know, solar is going to be there for 30 years, an air source heat pump is going to be there 15 to 20 years, so it's not like something that's going to be needing replaced in just a few years' time, and the payback figures are well within the expected lifetime of the equipment.
And you mentioned batteries there. Is that important to ensure the energy you do generate, you can actually use one in your home?
Absolutely, yeah. So we're the Tesla Powerwall agents for the Isle of Man, and that's a home battery system. We cover for domestic and commercial on the Tesla side. And if you are producing solar energy during the day, if you're consuming it, you're saving 16.9 pence, which is the current rate of Manx Utilities. If you're not consuming it, then without batteries, you're exporting it. And the export rate here is fantastic, to be fair. It's 9.1 pence. But the saving, of course, is using that energy. So if you're not at home to use it, you're automatically going to sell it unless you incorporate battery storage and you store all that solar energy during the day. And when you come back at night time, you're running your home on solar power at night because you're discharging that battery into the home.
You mentioned in 2008 it was mainly, was it air source heat pumps back in 2008?
Yeah, air and ground source heat pumps back then, yeah.
So how's that changed over the years towards solar, and why has it changed?
The biggest reason it's changed is predominantly cost. Predominantly cost. Back then, solar PV was very expensive. We were quite busy with it on some large private properties. Now, as with the cost, has come right down and continuing to come down. So now, I think it's purely cost. The figures really, really stand up. There was no grants for solar PV back then, and there's no grants for solar PV on domestic scale here now either. But the cost, the figures all stack up.
What hurdles as a homeowner do people face when installing these technologies?
So the main hurdles would be is the condition of the roof. Mm. Obviously, if the roof is needing extensive works, then that's something the homeowner will have to address in any event. But to add solar onto it as well can sometimes push the budget a bit too much. But with solar PV being through permitted development now since 2015, actually, on the Isle of Man, there is little to no constraints from that perspective. They don't have to put a planning application unless, of course, it's for a conservation area. Obviously, commercially, we still need planning, but on a domestic scale, we don't need any planning for that unless it's conservation area. And a few little minor things that we've got to tick the box on, which is very easy to do so. Manx Utilities are very, very favourable on solar PV. Any applications that we send in are approved almost instantly. So, you know, there is little to no hurdles, really, at the moment, at least, for solar PV.
But that wasn't always the case, was it, before you had permitted development?
Exactly, yeah. So back when we speak about when we started first, we would get maybe a call towards end of July, August, the sun's at its highest and people are seeing all the sun bouncing off their roofs with no solar panels. So the inquiry would come in for solar and we'd go and do the survey and we would do the quote and it'd all be accepted. And the next move at that stage was, well, let's do the planning application. And of course, that was maybe a 3 to 4 month period. So by the time the planning came in, we're now in the middle of October, November, you know, for people
get itchy feet, do they?
Yeah, they're getting bored waiting. They were excited in the middle of August for solar, not so excited by the middle of October for it. Mm. But yeah, that was a bit of a nuisance back then, but at least we don't have to do that now.
And now people, when they make these decisions, obviously the big factor is cost. So is it expensive?
It's nowhere near as expensive as what it was. A typical solar PV system will pay for itself in about 10 years. Mm. That's your return of investment. The output warranty on the panels is 25 years. And like I said earlier, the life expectancy is 30 years. So what you're buying into is a system that you're going to have for at least 30 years. And it's going to pay for itself three times over while it's expected to be on your property.
I wanted to ask about any trends you've seen commercially. I know we've been up to Mountain View Innovation Center to see the Tesla batteries there that are fantastic, the three of them. What's the landscape looking like commercially? Because we're seeing more and more businesses investing in this tech.
Yeah, so we're getting more and more inquiries now on a commercial basis. Mountain View, that was a fantastic project and it's the biggest solar PV site on the island. It's 126 kilowatts they have. And they've seen the need for battery storage and invested in a 700 kilowatt hour Tesla power pack system. We've got other commercial sites that we've just done recently, Kelton Manx being one of them. They've installed solar PV and battery storage and we're getting more and more inquiries now from commercial property owners and from government. They're really taking it on board now. So the trend is definitely going up for the need for solar and battery storage on the island.
And are you seeing that trend developing as governments making commitments to zero carbon by 2050, for example?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. So I would say in the last 18 months, the inquiries we're getting is incredible. It really is incredible. And that's all really been spiked by this whole movement towards it. The more the government is doing, the more it really is generating more and more interest on the island.
And is that private and commercial interest?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. On the private side, we're finding that people are doing it, really doing it for cost savings, which and obviously reducing their carbon footprint. And the commercial side are obviously doing that for the same reasons as well, but also for the credentials of it all, because everybody loves the green credentials. So
that must be great news for the company. Were you always expecting to see this trend, even back in 2008 or earlier when perhaps you weren't certain what the uptake might be? Were you always expecting it's going to pick up?
Yes, absolutely. We started in 2008, but that was years before that when we had an interest in renewable technologies. And me and my business partner, Peter Quinney, set up Manx Solar, did all the training in the UK, and eventually in 2008 we set the companies up and we amalgamated in 2010 to do purely renewables. And year on year since then, our business has grown in the renewable sector. Mm. It absolutely is. We're doing more and more renewables every year. And we can see 2011 was better than 2010 and 12 and 13. So it was a continuing upward growth, albeit a slow upward growth back then. But now it's just spiking really up, which is fantastic.
And in that period, how you mentioned initially with the solar, but in terms of maybe the heat pump technology and other technology, has that come on leaps and bounds?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Heat pump technology has come on really leaps and bounds, especially air source. Air source heat pumps are fantastic, and that would be our main sort of goal now with the heat pumps. It is air source. We still do ground source. We're in the middle of a very large ground source heat pump in Lazare at the moment, but 90-95% of our heat pumps are air source. And because the technology has got a lot better, it's become cheaper to install and cheaper to maintain, really.
And where's the technology going? I mean, it's possible to predict, I know, but you must be keeping an ear to the ground. What new sort of tech are we seeing, and how is the existing stuff becoming more efficient?
So, yeah, the efficiency is the big thing. It's definitely getting better and better. The whole big announcement recently with the whole batteries, they're getting more and more efficient. And most importantly, they're getting less expensive to buy. And that really is the key thing, is that, you know, the efficiencies are going up and the cost is going down. And that's what's driving it all, really. We're back in the, when we started, the efficiencies were pretty stagnant and the costs were continually going up, but that's obviously completely changed now.
Do you find that once you've done these installations, people are saying it's going to add value to that, to the house ultimately?
Yes, I have had this conversation with a few local estate agents. The general feedback is it's not going to add value in terms of pounds in your pocket initially. But what they are seeing is it's adding sellability to the property. If two properties identical same in terms of size and location, if one's got all the tech, the solar and the heat pumps and the batteries, and the one doesn't, it's the one with the equipment that sells, and it gets the bigger asking price. And that's what we're finding. So the sellability, because people are really, really keen now to know how much it costs to run a house on an annual basis, and they don't want to move into a house that's got high oil or gas or electric bills. And that's one of the first things that most estate agents are getting asked now. How much does it cost to run this house? So that definitely increases the saleability of your house. Absolutely.
And are you finding those purchasing the installations and the tech, that is their sort of family home and they're going to commit to it? Because like I said, if the savings are coming back over a 10, 20, 30 year period, you're assuming they're sticking around to see those benefits?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So like we said, the return of investment is around about 10 years. The equipment's going to be there for 30 years on the solar PV panels. But people are committing to a 10-year investment at least. So we haven't seen many people doing houses with all this technology just to sell them on. That is coming. Builders now on the island are looking into that, and they will be going down that route of providing this technology as standard, which is how it should be, but it's coming. And just the cost of the equipment added on to a new build property really is minimal, especially over maybe a 20-25 year mortgage. It makes absolutely sense to do it at that stage and just buy the property with the equipment already installed.
The equipment itself, is it future proof, and have you had to go back to some of the stuff you've installed and add newer elements to it, or how does that work?
No, we haven't had to do that yet, and we hope not to have to do that. We do keep right up there with installing the latest technology. We've got some fantastic companies on board, such as we mentioned earlier, the Tesla. Tesla are by far the leaders in battery technology in the world. We use SolarEdge, which is our inverters and technology we use for solar panels. And so we're using the equipment that's right up there. And they are advancing their equipment all the time. So it's like any piece of electronic equipment, be it a phone or a computer. You buy the latest model and, you know, it does get better than the next model. But the model we're installing is there for longevity and the efficiencies are there.
Grants from government are obviously available to help. People may have points to make on the efficiency of those grants, but how do they interact with the business? And do you find that it helps, it doesn't help? What sort of interaction is there?
There's no grants per se for renewables. The governments are offering grants for doing home improvements to energy efficiencies. The figures, I think, is around about £2,000, but that's not £2,000 for any one piece of equipment. It might be £200 towards your insulation and another £200 towards upgrading windows or something like that. But it's not, there isn't a set figure there towards putting it towards, say, solar panels, for example. Manx Utilities are doing a scheme at the moment where you can lease an air source heat pump from them for 10 years. So you sign up to the scheme, they'll come, they'll supply it, install it and maintain it for a 10-year period, which is fantastic. And at the end of the 10-year period, you own the piece of equipment. But it's not a grant as such, and it's the same for solar. In the commercial side, there is a green business loan that is available to business owners only at the moment. It's a £20,000 interest-free loan for 5 years. So again, it's great that it's interest-free for 5 years, but it's a figure you've got to pay back. It's a sum of money that you're given for a short term, you've got to pay back in full. So there's no grant as such there that I don't believe is helping at the moment with that.
And you're obviously going to say yes, but do you think in future with this push, some sort of grant or support is going to be needed just to get the majority majority of people rather than those who can afford it to move to this tech?
Absolutely, yeah. That's 100% going to be needed. Even though the equipment's come right down in cost, that is affordable to the most, but there's going to be a need for every property in the Isle of Man to have at least an air source heat pump or at least a couple of kilowatts of solar. The government's going to have to help fund that. So absolutely, yeah, it really is important for the Isle of Man to come on board with those grants and to meet their goals. They're going to have to do that, I believe, yes.
And just finally, what's Manx Solar Electrical's goal, I suppose, more generally? Obviously, you're doing well, it sounds, at the moment, but have you got aspirations for, I don't know, instilling a certain type of technology, a certain level or coverage? Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, our main goal, we are a mechanical and electrical firm. My business partner looks after the mechanical side. And we, back when we started off first, were probably 80% doing the mechanical and electrical works, and we had like 20% renewable. But now that's totally flipped, where we're 80% of our workload is on the renewable side. And whilst we still do mechanical and electrical works, it's a very small proportion. And we're looking now that we're going to get to a point where we'll just be so busy fitting solar and batteries and heat pumps that we won't have much time for anything else. And that was always our main goal, is to be the main provider of solar technologies and battery technologies on the island. But With solar, yeah, hence the name Manx Solar. You know, that was always our goal, to be the main go-to guys for solar panels on the island. I think we're pretty much achieving that.
Martin Coyle from Manx Solar Electrical. You're listening to Agenda on Manx Radio. A new deal between Manx Gas and government has been welcomed by both sides as a win for domestic consumers. Tynwald backed a heads of terms agreement last week, with members picking a voluntary deal over statutory regulation. Domestic customers are set to receive an average refund of £93 for this year and lower prices in future years. Manx Gas will have its profits capped at just under 7%. I spoke to the energy company's CEO, David Cruddas.
This effectively is a 5-year agreement. Technically, it's 6 years because we're going back a year. We're going to backdate it. It affects the domestic and small commercial customers of Manx Gas. And it effectively puts a cap on the amount of profit we can earn on that business. And this year will affect, on average, a £93 rebate to customers for the year that we're just ending, which is, you know, 13.7% reduction. And it gives some price security for the next 5 years going forward. I think it's been a hard-fought deal, but it's a very good deal for consumers.
So with that profit cap being reduced from the 9.99 to the 6.99, how will that affect the company?
Well, obviously, we invest in our infrastructure on the Isle of Man for the long term. And one of the reasons that we wanted to get the surety of a 5-year deal is because we invest for the long term. And basically, we were looking for that degree of certainty. Yes, it's going to cost us in the amount of profit we've got, but obviously, we've thought through the fine details of it, and this was the a balance which allows us to raise the money that we need to invest in the infrastructure of the business at commercial rates.
Well, some have said there are loopholes in this which could be exploited by Manx Gas. As a result of that profit cap being reduced, the other costs may go up. What do you say to that?
Well, it's very difficult to make everybody happy. You know, this agreement has gone backwards and forwards now for months, if not years. There are parts of the portfolio which aren't covered, but these are effectively the large consumers of gas, which in the main have very beneficial rates in any case. And these are the people who really have a choice about, one, whether they use gas at all commercially, and secondly, you know, they have the ability to, because of the buying power, to actually have a bit more influence. This deal is designed and does protect the domestic consumer, and it's a very good deal. A concession from the company was to include commercial businesses, up to businesses that are burning 12,000 kilowatt hours per annum. And to give you a view, there are very few customers who actually aren't included in this deal. Now, we've got around about 24,000 customers, and there's about 850 customers who are not included in the deal. Mm. Well, and of that 850, 130 of them are government.
Well, are those customers, are they going to have to bear the cost of the benefit that's going to be seen for the domestic customers?
No, they're not. They're not. I mean, there's no Machiavellian plan to suddenly increase rates on these customers. Mm. They were simply excluded out of the deal because of their size. And as I said, there's circa 800 customers in that bracket, of which the 134 of them are government-based customers. But to give you an idea of how big that sector actually is, those 800 customers account for broadly about one third of the gas that we ship. So on one side, we've got 20,000 customers using two thirds of the gas, and 800 customers that use one third of the gas. So it really puts into context that these are not insubstantial businesses.
I wanted to ask, you talk about investment in infrastructure long term. Now, with climate considerations going on, in 5 years' time, it could be a very bit different picture in terms of what governments want to support in terms of energy infrastructure and use. Have you factored that into this deal? And is it something you're worried about?
Am I worried about climate change? I think there are a number of aspects to the current climate change bill and the consultation period. And I think it was last Monday they issued some revisions based on the consultation. I think that Manx Gas actually has a great place to play in the climate change debate. And one of the things that, for example, that we are working towards is actually delivering a carbon neutral gas product. So effectively, how that would work would be by using carbon offsets. We would effectively, by around about the first quarter of next year, potentially have the ability to deliver carbon neutral gas. Now, I think there's an awful lot of talk about climate change and climate aspirations on Ireland, but there's not so many people who are actually doing it today. And I think we've got a great opportunity to take around about 64,000 tonnes of carbon out of the world's atmosphere. And we just look for help and support and recognition that this is something that we should do.
Do you not have concerns that even the offset offer might be unpalatable, given that the climate seems to be very much moving towards commitments to zero carbon by even sooner than 2050, although that's not in the government's eyesight just yet? I mean, what I'm trying to ask is, will Manx Gas maybe have to take the gas bid out of its name in future and be providing something else?
I think, you know, it depends what time frame we talk about. I think in the here and now, if I get an offset capability, I'm not talking 20 or 30 years. I'm talking about being carbon neutral next March or next April. So I think, you know, that's the first point to really note. The second part to look at is, if you think about the island's infrastructure, then it's probable that it will follow the same pathway as the GB, because today, you know, the gas effectively comes across through the pipeline, and the policy that GB operates, and there's as many different versions as you want to think of, will probably be the same model that Isle of Man operates. But I think if we talk about it today and we're talking about carbon, the gas that we produce is actually the lowest carbon-based fuel on the island. And what I mean by that is the electricity that is consumed on island today is produced by gas from the CHP operated by the MUA. By their own token, it's 50% efficient. And gas compared to oil, then effectively gas boilers are 95% efficient, and compared to oil, 30% more efficient and produce no particulates, as opposed to oil, which obviously does produce particulates. So I think from a carbon point of view, without doubt the cheapest and most carbon friendly approach of the mass of fuels that are available today is effectively to use gas in its purest form.
But I suppose, again, I'd counter that advocates who have a stake in gas would argue that it's got a place as a transition fuel. But it's, would you not say the direction of travel with air source heat pumps and other sources of heating seems to be accelerating in that direction rather than towards gas?
We can have a very long debate about the efficiency.
Sure, we can.
and the future of carbon. But I think, you know, in the here and now, I think what we've actually got is a very good deal for consumers, good deal for the company as well, obviously an acceptable deal for us. And I think when you look at the debate that went on in Timwell yesterday, it's obviously a deal that's been scrutinised. There was a lot of debate about it. So, you know, it's been a long time in the making. And I think, you know, to your carbon point, we've got it's a hydrocarbon-based fuel, but we are aiming to make it carbon neutral in a matter of months. And compared to the other forms of fuel on the island, it is by far the comparatively most clean.
Manx Gas CEO David Cruddas. That's all from this programme. We'll be back with more from Agenda soon, and you can listen again to this edition online via the Manx Radio website or through Spotify. But for now, Guru Mayu and goodbye.